This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. All present at the Agenda 21 show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on. It's another fast and furious 24/7, 365 news cycle, and you are on it, especially after last night's debate. The first round of 10 debating last night, and in my opinion, Tulsi Gabbard, I think, wins the day clearly. I mean, pretty clear that she's got her act together, military background and so on. A lot of the other people, just clownish behavior, socialist to the max. And she's the one who is not. It's very, very clear to see that one. Anyway, we got a full show coming up. We're going to be talking to Sheila Weinberg, Truth in Accounting, about the situation with pensions in California and also throughout the United States. She's going to be with us, Truth in Accounting. Also in the second hour, Scott Bennett's going to be joining us. He's going to be chiming in on the Tulsi Gabbard phenomena that started last night. And then also talk a little bit about the LaFoy Finicum situation in Oregon, because, you know, that whole thing is manifesting itself. Today there is in about 25 minutes, there's going to be a big protest in Salem, Oregon, about the climate change bill that the Democrats actually took away, but it still has kept the Republicans out of the state. Remember, all those Republican senators absented themselves from the legislature. And they have, three more days of this legislative session to go, and they're going to stay out of the state. So Scott's going to weigh in on that one. In the third hour, we have Gregory Whitestone. He's the author of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore does not want you to know about. He's going to be weighing in on the whole climate change bill that, of course, in California we have AB 32, and AB 32 is one of the most destructive bills in climate. The so-called CARB, California Air Resources Board, it's where they exchange carbon credits supposedly worldwide. Well, guess what? It just got smacked down. The exact same bill, almost identical language, appears, and guess where? In Oregon. And who's pushing it? The California legislature and the former governor, Jerry Brown, and the current governor, Gavin Newsom, pushing and putting pressure on legislators up there in Oregon. It didn't work. It backfired. And we'll talk about the legacy of Lavoie Finicum and his efforts that took place up there in the Malheur. But first of all, I'd like to introduce to you Sheila Weinberg. She's with Truth in Accounting. And Sheila, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Paul.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for made an appearance in the Epoch Times the other day. I think it was 3 or 4 days ago. And has it been 3 or 4 days? I think it is. But you were in the Epoch Times featured, you know, with Truth in Accounting about the California pension system and about California basically being broke as a joke, as we call it around here, in the New California State movement. By the way, you can go to newcaliforniastate.com and see the article. Also, it's posted on Agenda 21 Radio, a21r.com for that one. It's posted up there. So tell us really what is going on in California. Now, you're in Chicago with Truth in Accounting. I do want to say you have one of the most fascinating, I think, websites. And, you know, for people who like statistics and looking up things about various states, your website has it. I do want to talk about that a little bit later. But tell us why, in your opinion, California is in real financial trouble.
Yeah, we have two websites, truthinaccounting.org, and then the fascinating one you were speaking about is statedatalab.org, where your listeners could go on in to that website, click on California, and see our financial state of California, where we do a two-page document that highlights the financial condition of California and other states. And California, like many states, are now claiming surpluses, but they're not including, in essence, their credit card debt in that surplus calculation. So we go ahead and look at the financial report of the state, and we add the pension and retiree health care debt. And what we found is that your state, despite these claims of surpluses, actually needs almost $270 billion to right your financial ship.
$270 billion with a B, as we say here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Yes, and what we do is to be able to compare the states, we divide that by the number of taxpayers you have in the state and come up with how much each taxpayer's share of that debt is, and that amounts to $22,000. So to put this into a common knowledge would be that, you know, that is the represents the amount that each taxpayer in the state of California is going to have to pay in taxes in the future to cover costs that the state has already incurred, to cover the costs that the legislature and governors have put on to the pension and retiree health care credit cards and other credit cards.
Now, when you talk about the healthcare credit card, this is California adopting a couple of years ago the Obama plan outright.
No, this would be that the state workers, as part of their compensation,
gotcha,
they earn the right to receive a pension, but they also earn the right to receive healthcare for the rest of their lives. Unlike the rest of us who have to go on to the federal government program, they get to stay on the state program. Some of them may go on Medicare, but they have a Cadillac plan for the rest of their life. And unusually in your state is that the retiree health care credit card is $107 billion, which is actually more than the pension credit card of $100 billion. So you hear a lot about the pension problems, but in your state, you actually have a higher retiree health care problem.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting being in the education business for 41 years and from custodian to superintendent. I kind of get what you're talking about relative to, you know, large bureaucracies such as school districts. And I can remember that, geez, it must have been 30 years ago, we were hearing about small school districts, in particular in rural areas, that the districts were granting board members and they were granting the executives, superintendents, assistant superintendents, and so on, lifetime health care benefits. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it would just put the stranglehold on school districts. And this was something that was really quite fashionable at the time. But, you know, those districts have floundered every year since. I mean, we're talking even to present day.
And the state and the city governments are, you know, have done the same thing. And, right. And again, we're not talking about, you know, just run-of-the-mill healthcare plans. These are usually, you know, Cadillac healthcare plans, dental, vision, you know, life insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, now we have the cities, like you said. The city jumped on board with that, and other municipalities jumped on board with that. And now you have sort of a blanket problem with a lot of these cities, and the cities are just as much financial doom in many cases as, of course, Stockton comes to mind, San Bernardino comes to mind, and even back in the early 90s, it was Orange County, a whole county, primarily in part because of this kind of pension debt. I guess the question is, we're going to come up to a break right now, and when we come back from the break, I want to dig a little bit more into the debt situation in California, not just with healthcare, but with everything else that's going on, and then what's the future debt going to look like. So right now we're talking to Sheila Weinberg, Truth in Accounting, and we're trying to break it out. Well, I think we're going to do a very good job of breaking it out for everybody to understand how deeply in debt and at what peril California is in, the state of California. Of course, this is what we have been predicting in the new California state movement. It's here, it's now, and Sheila's going to explain a little bit more in detail about those situations. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Oh.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821R.com. That's 821R.com. And of course, newcaliforniastate.com. The state of the future, and we are building, building, building. I'll be meeting, or actually be able to meet and talk with Devin Nunez tomorrow night. I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be down in San Luis Obispo. We're going to be traveling again in the effort to create New California. So Devin Nunez tomorrow night. And then, of course, we have a big speaking engagement in Monterey County. They are rolling out the red carpet out there for us, and we really appreciate that. We anticipate a lot of people will be attending the meeting put on by the New California State Movement of Monterey County. Okay, but with us right now is Sheila Weinberg, Truth in Accounting, and we've been talking about the situation that's been going on with California in particular, and of course, Truth in Accounting. Sheila, you're not in California, but you're in Chicago, isn't that correct? In Illinois?
Yeah, we're based in Chicago, but we calculate the true financial condition of all 50 states. We also calculate the true financial condition of the 75 most populated cities. So again, you can find that data on the statedatalab.org.
It's a fascinating place. Statedatalab.org. Get that one in your heads, guys, because we're going to be referring to that a lot here in the next 6 months to a year as we go through this whole statehood process. You know, it's fascinating once you start diving into the numbers. And I want to make sure that everybody knows you're not in California. You're not related to California in any respect. But you do this with all 50 states and also those 75 large communities like New York City and Los Angeles and so on. So your analysis is pretty straightforward and pretty even-keeled. Overall financial, I just want to get this one out there. Overall financially, if you're going to give California a grade financially of A through F, what would you give it?
Unfortunately, the state gets an F. You know, and what we do that based upon is the balanced budget claim. So if you're balancing your budget, we give them a state a C. And if you're actually have a true surplus, unlike California, who doesn't have a true surplus, you know, then we give upwards to an A. I think Alaska is the only state that gets an A, but we do give A's and B's, and we do this to counter the credit ratings because, like in California, you know, they still have a credit rating higher than a corporation, and a lot of local governments and cities will point to their credit rating that they're doing great. They have a AA or a AAA credit rating, but what people don't understand is that is just a risk, an analysis of the risk on whether the government's bonds can get paid. It does not look at the overall financial condition of the government. So we look at our score as not something for investors. We look at it for the citizens because we, you know, even though we're talking about pensions, we're talking a lot about numbers today. You know, we really believe that, you know, this is critical to our representative forms of government. It has been said that an informed electorate is the basis of a sound representative form of government. But our citizens, especially those, your listeners, are actually being misinformed. And we believe that this is damaging our representative forms of government because people, when they, you know, they can't engage. They're not knowledgeable participants in their political process. So when people go to vote, and you know, like the last election there in California, they were under the impression everything financially is fine. We're running surpluses. Well, they're not running surpluses. You know, they're $270 billion in the hole. And would California's voters made a different decision on who they chose in the last election if they knew that was the situation instead of all of this discussion of surpluses?
Well, you know, even as late as yesterday and the day before, Gavin Newsom was touting, you know, the budget surplus that we do not have. And I think everybody who understands what's going on with, you know, with the governor and with this, you know, you're verifying what most Californians think. And again, the cry that we hear so much right now in the New California State Movement and Agenda 21 Radio is that we hear about all these taxes being levied upon us, and no one's, you know, everybody says, well, I didn't know about that. And all of a sudden they go to the gas pump, and you know, there's 6 more cents per gallon added on, which you're going to get in July 1st. We're going to get even more. So, you know, nearly a dollar's worth of new add-on taxes have happened to gas alone. And, again, every other little tax and fee, one of the things we have, of course, is a full-time legislature. You've got 11-month legislature that meets 11 months every year. And, of course, that creates new laws, new financial requirements for the law, more taxes and fees, and, of course, ever-restricting regulations. Is there a little wonder why people are confused all the time? Because really everything that the state legislature is doing is a tax in itself.
Yeah, and again, our, quote, taxpayer burden is $22,000. So unless things are changed on the pension level, the retiree health care level, the spending level of government, we call it a taxpayer's burden because that is how much future taxes are going to have to be raised on each taxpayer. And they're, again, not going to receive any government services or benefits for those new taxes.
Well, you know, let's take a look at Chicago or Illinois, because there is actually a new Illinois movement that's patterning itself after the new California state movement. And you actually have some legislators in your legislature in Springfield that actually are part of the movement in trying to make a new Illinois. But, you know, again, for the same reasons economically. But Chicago is a little bit further down the indebtedness road than California. This is they're more deeper in debt, and as a result, you know, states don't go bankrupt. That's a misnomer from, you know, a lot of people think, because states can't go bankrupt. But what they do is they just end up ultimately just paying people off over many, many years. So if you think that you perform a service today and you're going to get paid in a month from the state, good luck. Now, that's a big problem in Illinois right now, isn't it?
Yeah, we have, the great thing about, I hate to say, since I live in Illinois, but there is good in Illinois' financial situation, because we can tell you, people have always said, oh, it's a numbers game, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. We're experiencing it in Illinois. Illinois right now has $6 to $8 billion of vendor bills that have not been paid. Mm-hmm. So, i.e., somebody's performed a service for the government, for the state, and the state has not paid them back. People have to wait 6 to 18 months to get paid. Now, again, this, let's bring it down to a personal level. People who are on the state's healthcare system, they have to pay cash up front to see their doctor and to have operations. Uh-huh. Because the doctors and hospitals are not willing to wait for the state to pay them back.
Well, out here we have Medi-Cal, and we're finding that to be a problem with many doctors who are not signing up as providers for Medi-Cal.
Yeah, and as our state data lab, we have, in addition to, you can go on to your individual states and see how that is, we have a tab called charts, and you can create your own charts there. And one of the data points in there is doctors accepting new Medicaid patients. And we find that the states that are in worse financial shape, like California, Illinois, fewer doctors are taking Medicaid patients. So, you know, this poor financial condition, you know, in addition to hurting the taxpayers, are hurting people who need, you know, who may need those services because they can't find a doctor to accept the Medicaid.
Well, you know, people sign up for Medicaid out here, but then you also have to sign up for another provider besides Medicaid, you know, sort of like a boost to your Medicaid, because the doctors aren't taking it.
Yeah, and another example of what's going on here is my local state rep is in a office that has had a long-term lease with the state. The state rep says, I found an office that's closer to my house, that is a half the rent, but I can't get the new landlord to sign a lease because he won't wait for 6 to 18 months to get paid. the old landlord, because they've been strung along so long for so long, is getting paid every month, every other month for 18 months ago. But this new landlord can't wait for that long to get the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And quite frankly, I know that even years ago, we had many landlords that were being paid. They were the last ones being paid out of the state of California. That was a 6 to 9 month wait, even at that time. That was 10 years ago.
We've had nonprofits go out of business because, you know, they've been promised the money, and then the state either doesn't come through with the money, or they have to wait for so long that they can't, you know, they can't float the state. So all of these people, you know, they're bondholders, but there's all these vendors who, you know, aren't getting paid either. And, you know, interestingly, I've heard that, you know, some of the state legislators are actually trying to profit on this by going to the vendors and saying, well, we'll pay your money now, and, you know, then we'll collect the money from the state with interest of 1% every month once the state pays us.
Well, that is a scam that's been going on out here in California, because what happens is that there is a lot of lenders. They're like sharks is what they are. In fact, I had to experience that when we opened up our charter school, because we were granted $1 million for startup, and lo and behold, the state never gave it to us. They took that money and gave it to one of their crony friends in Silicon Valley, which is kind of interesting. We saw this whole thing play out, but in the meantime, you know, in order for our to start up, we went out and we were encouraged to get this like a swing loan, basically, before the federal money would come in, and which is what we did. And we opened up the school based upon that lending, and then based upon any money that would come into our account from the county level, from the state, which a small amount came in, and then we had to back it up with some other grant funding. That's how we basically survived. But that money never really appeared. About $800,000 of the money of the $1 million never really appeared for us during the whole year. It was basically sent off to another charter school, to a crony friend of somebody who worked in the California Department of Education. That was going on 10 years ago, and yeah, it's, you know, a game. It's a game like you're talking about there.
Yeah, and then, you know, this again hurts the nonprofits that are trying to provide services to people. You know, so again, it's not, you know, just a numbers game. You know, these numbers do have consequences.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the other things too is this scam. I think I just call it a scam because it is a scam. How do the politicians justify and come up with the idea that and sell it? Well, we know they sell it, but how do they come up with that lie that they actually have, you know, $20 billion in reserve?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you and I having a savings account.
Yeah.
And we put money into that savings account.
Sheila, can I stop you for a second? Because you're kind of garbly right now.
Let me see if I can move locations.
Yeah, it's kind of, this is that, we're talking to Sheila Weinberg, and we're trying to get the signal all worked out here so we have a clear voice signal, and but she's.
Is it getting better?
Go ahead, say a few words there. Nope, I can't hear you at all. Okay, I think we've lost her. So, yep. Okay. Well, anyway, I think we're gonna get her back here in a second. Let's see here. We'll go ahead and do the, I was going to run a commercial. We're not going to run a commercial, so we're right in the middle here. Anyway, we're going to call her right back and get her hooked up here for the next segment and see what we can do to get that all taken care of. Anyway, so Sheila, Truth in Accounting, it's been a fascinating interview, and hopefully we'll get her all back here right now.
Can you?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's really waffly. So
okay, let me try another location.
Yeah, we'll try that. Anyway, we're talking to Sheila Weinberg with Truth in Accounting, and we're talking about how the next topic we're going to talk about is how do the legislators and the governor justify and make the statement that they've got a surplus. It's a scam. And I think, how are you doing now?
I'll let you tell me.
Well, it's still garbly.
All right, let me try and do it a different way.
Yeah. Anyway, it is definitely better now. A little better, yes, much better.
Okay.
It's a little echoey, but go ahead. We're talking about that scam. How do they justify the $20 billion surplus that they say they have?
Well, so it's kind of like, you know, you and I, we have a savings account. We put money in it, but we aren't paying the minimum payments on our credit cards. So we have extra cash because we aren't, we're not paying the payments on our credit cards. But then we say, well, we have a surplus because we have extra cash.
Nice. So the debt just keeps building and built. In other words, you're not reporting that debt, you know, and that's why people need to say to Gavin Newsom, what is the real debt? Or anybody
right.
else who's in the, what is the real debt? No, you're not getting to that debt and confront these people. And again, these guys have never really been confronted, in my opinion.
And I think every time, you know, that they, you know, say that they have a surplus, they should ask, what they should ask them is, you know, how much is your, the governments call it a structural deficit. So in government political math, what we call, you can run a surplus but have a structural deficit at the same time. So when they talk about a surplus, people should say, well, what is your structural deficit? You know, how much are your bills, not just what you seem to want to pay?
So structural deficit is the key terminology to be asking them. What is your do you know your structural deficit?
Yes. I would recommend that, you know, your listeners, go to that state data lab, go to California. You can click on the pretty picture chart at the very top, and it's a 2-page document. And just take that with you everywhere you go, and especially when you're going to talk to your elected officials.
Yeah, and again, the key question, what is the structural deficit of California?
Yeah.
And that's what they have. And they, you know, will they be able to answer it? And they're probably going to look, see, because, you know, they've been fooling everybody for so long that when confronted with the truth, I'm sure they're going to be sitting there going, where'd you hear that? And they're going to say, well, we heard it on Agenda 21 Radio. And they go, I know that's what they're going to do. But the structural deficit is what is killing us, because the real structural deficit, as you say right now, at least is $290 billion. But, you know, if you start adding on other numbers about unfunded liabilities, what's that look like?
Right. And, you know, and this doesn't include the, unfunded infrastructure where, you know, it's another budget scheme where they, instead of, you know, handling maintenance on an ongoing basis, including that in the budget, they just delay and delay and delay and until a crisis happens. And, what we've experienced here in Illinois, they delayed and delayed that maintenance. Then it becomes a crisis. So then we have to have a new infrastructure bill. And then we just instituted a new gasoline tax to fund that infrastructure bill.
So when all paths lead to overbearing taxes, in other words, to solve that problem.
Yeah, and again, that's why the, you know, 49 of the 50 states have a balanced budget requirement. And the reason they have a balanced budget requirement is so that you don't get into a financial crisis and have to raise taxes. So as you're going along, you are spending only what the taxpayers are willing to pay you. But what the governments have done is to spend more than they have been taxing. It makes it impossible for the citizenry to hold their elected officials accountable, because they really don't know how much has been spent because they've been hiding how much they've been spending. And then eventually that leads to, as, you know, again, Illinois, unfortunately, it has led to massive tax increases now.
Yeah, and not going to get any better for Illinois, and it's not going to get any better to California. And of course, that's where New California comes in. That's where New Illinois comes in. You got to have to change fundamentally how you operate from a constitutional standpoint, isn't that right?
Yeah, you know, and it's very interesting here. You know, we have a flat tax right now. They have put a constitutional, it's in the Constitution. They have a constitutional amendment that's going to go to the voters next time to change that to a progressive tax. And I'm saying, yeah, well, if you want to change the Constitution, change the wording of the balanced budget requirement so you can't, quote, balance the budget and go into debt at the same time.
Yeah, which is, of course, what they've been doing here in California. I mean, $27 billion in 2017 alone, which they basically pulled funding away from infrastructure, roads and dams and so on. They pulled all that money to pay for the illegal foreign nationals at the border, provide services for the illegal foreign nationals. That's how they paid for it. And, of course, now we not only we have a structural problem, infrastructural problem, as well as a structural debt problem.
Yeah, and as you say, that, you know, this is just going to continue along, you know, until we can, you know, change how they, you know, calculate the budget so that they can't, you know, quote, run, balance the budget or run a surplus and go into debt. You know, it's making, again, it impossible for the citizenry to hold them accountable, because think about it, if in the past the politicians would have had to raise $217 billion, oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at Illinois, $270 billion of taxes in the past to cover their prior spending, you know, would those guys, you know, those incumbents got reelected?
Well, and of course, you have to add on to that, California has a very corrupt election system. It's completely corrupted. It's so, I mean, it's just across the board corrupted, because it can be. Remember, we have a monoparty system with a supermajority, so it's a Democratic Party system. And, of course, democracy basically means dictatorship. We are no longer a representative form of government, a Republican form of government, which, by the way, is guaranteed in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. It's the first thing. You see, the Founding Fathers obviously realized that if you cannot provide a Republican form of government, then you have no country. You have no representation. And again, what they have been preaching is they want a democracy in which you don't have representative government. And one of the avenues to do that is to financially strap you and force you into basically have an election system or a process by where officials are continually the same officials doing the same thing financially to you, being encouraged to go deeper and deeper into debt.
Yes, and, you know, this debt is, you know, in states like California, Illinois, New Jersey, Connecticut, Kentucky, you know, they're in so much financial debt. You know, I'm really, you know, struggling trying to figure out how they're going to get out of it.
Well, and of course, there's, you know, in the case of like California, we understand the cash flow is going to be so bad. There's going to be, you know, it's going to get to a point of literally running out of other people's money here in the next several months. You're seeing that same problem coming for Illinois.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, they just, you know, continue to, you know, issue bonds, and, you know, fortunately they have buyers, but as you know, that eventually, you know, will run dry when they're having troubles paying for the, you know, bond payments. But, you know, what people have to realize is the bond payments are the first thing that comes out of the budget, so,
right.
You know, they're putting more money paying those bond payments plus interest. And that means less money for other services and benefits.
Well, and again, you bring up a great point about the bond payments, because California still has a very good rating because they pay off the bonds first, and that allows them to get deeper in debt, technically. And they play right into the hands of the Wall Street people, and they get deeper in debt and deeper in debt every single year when they issue new bonds. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and again, you know, that the ability to borrow money and the credit ratings doesn't, you know, give people doesn't give the people, you know, knowing how much they can spend on other things, because the credit ratings then going into, you know, if they can borrow, is not a factor of whether the true financial condition of the government. It just means that those bonds are going to be able to be paid back, not that the government's going to be able to spend money on other things.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's an ever-decreasing services of services from the government that the government is expected to perform, but it decreases and goes away ultimately. Now, so the key thing is, and this is one of the things that our advisor Chris Street has always said, is to watch those bond ratings. And at some certain time in the future, they're going to be rated just a little bit above junk. And I think that that's an... right now, your bond rating in Illinois is just above junk, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just above junk. But again, you know, the bond ratings are very lagging. They're
right.
You know, they may be predictors of the future, but they're not. You know, they're not a predictor of the current financial condition of the government. So, you know, watch them go down. But I think by the time that they go down, what we've experienced in other jurisdictions, especially in Illinois, is that by the time those credit ratings go down, the government is already, you know, in so much financial debt that, you know, I'm not even sure that they can dig themselves out of it.
Well, and that, of course, that's where you are in Illinois, and we're not that far away from that, and especially if we have this the continued recession, which, you know, there's some organizations out there saying that California is teetering on recession, and if there's one of a slight, mild, or extreme recession, we're just in deep trouble with the consequences for income coming into California. That would probably be the trigger that would lower the bond rating. Now, when bond rating is issued, I believe California has a double A, B. Is that what it's called? Is that what the...
I'm going to go to our state data lab and create your own chart, and we can pull up that bond rating information.
Okay.
That's one of the data points. I know it's one of the last ones, so we'll just do that right now. And it is right now, it is A minus, double A minus.
Okay. And that minus, does that mean anything?
Well, again, you would think that things would be, you know, when you're grading things, you grade things A, B, C, D. In bond ratings for governments, you know, they have the best is AAA, then they go to A plus, then AA. I mean, AAA, then AA plus. That, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
The worst a government can get is a BBB minus. Again, you would think that that would be, ABC. It's some rating that doesn't make sense to the common person.
But, you know, and again, that's very confusing for the common person. I wanted to walk everybody through this so that they understand that, and this is a lagging indicator, by the way. You know, it's not like today we're actually, I think if you take a look at the debt, we'd actually, as you say, you have a counter to that, and you grade California from an economic standpoint as an F.
Right.
And your counter process to get there is a separate process as to how the bond rating companies like Moody's and so on rate California or rate Illinois. Now, your process includes what to get to F?
Well, what we do is we go to the state's audited financial report, and we, you know, look at their assets, we look at their liabilities, we look at any, off balance sheet items, and come up with, again, the money that the state needs to pay the bills that it's already incurred. So we're doing a holistic approach, not just looking at pensions. And then we give a government, and then if the government doesn't owe any money, then we, give them a C because they have accomplished the meeting the balanced budget requirement. And if they do need money to pay bills, we would give them a D or an F. So in California, they have so much money that they need to pay bills that we're giving the state an F.
Yeah. So that's sort of a real, and that's more of a real world, up to date version of a, I guess the counter, if you will, as you say, to the bond rating companies out there.
Yeah, and California has an AA minus, and I was looking at more detail on what that AA means. And what it means is a very strong capacity to meet financial commitments. So even though California has $270 billion in bills, the rating agency still believes that they have a very strong capacity to meet the bonds that have been offered. So again, but they can say that because the bonds are the first thing that gets paid, and also the rating agency believes that the state has enough taxing capacity to be able to pay off those bonds.
So it's just a matter of people losing faith in the state of California at some point in time. Of course, at some point in time, the debt's going to overwhelm California and their ability to pay off those bonds.
Yeah, but by then you're in so much debt that, are you going to ever be able to pay it off? Is California going to be able to come, where are they going to get money to pay $102 billion of pensions that have been promised? Where are they going to get, $107 billion to pay for retiree health care debt? They're going to have to go to taxpayers and say, well, we need this money to pay these pensions, so therefore we're going to raise your taxes. But if they were truly balancing the budget, when the workers worked and earned the right to receive those pensions, they would have put money aside to pay the pensions instead of having these unfunded pension problems.
Yeah. Well, listen,
but they didn't want to do that because if they would have put money in the pension plan, then they wouldn't. They would have had to raise taxes, or they would have had to cut other government services or benefits to, quote, pretend they were balancing the budget. And those things aren't politically popular, so then they just delayed paying the pension pension contributions.
Basically kicking it down the road. Listen, we got to run for time, Sheila. I really appreciate all that you've contributed today, and I definitely want to have you back on the show, especially as we go through this process of statehood. And we look down at the crystal ball, basically, and see what's going on financially. Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can go to our truthandaccounting.org website, sign up to be on our morning call where we send people a daily email about all these issues. And on that website, obviously, we're a 501c3, so feel free to donate on that website also.
And the other one? Database.
The other one is statedatalab.org, and as I was working with you yesterday, we were having a lot of fun creating your own state charts or city charts. So go on to charts on State Data Lab to look at 300 other data points, not just financial, but economic and demographic
data. Too, yeah. Listen, Sheila, thank you very much for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, Sheila Weinberg of Truth in Accounting. California in the breach.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
I'm going to do what I can do through executive action.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Great interview. Had some, had a little technical difficulty, but we solved it. Sheila Weinberg, Truth in Accounting. Great, great website. And yes, we talked yesterday, had a lot of fun. When you really want to find out the truth. And the key thing to tell people, when they talk about California, oh, we got this budget. No, you don't. Give us the structural deficit budget. We want to know what the structural deficit is. You may have cash on one hand. What is your credit card debt? What is the true debt out there? That's what needs to be asked. They're just bald-faced, in your face, lying to us about the circumstances in California. Now, listen, this is nothing new about California. They've been doing this for years. They're die Schlickmeisters. What they do is they came in under Jerry Brown, we're going to have a balanced budget. See, he came in with the ploy of having a balanced budget and saying he has a balanced budget so that he would not have to report to you the real structural deficit, because people were asking, what's the structural deficit? Now we need to react, ask it. Of course, that's what we do in New California. We will be asking it. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. We're going to come back. Scott Bennett's going to join us in the next hour. We're going to be talking about this boring, as Trump said, debate last night, and who really won. In my opinion, Tulsi Gabbard won. In one big time. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.